Yo, welcome to the Sports Centric Podcast. I'm your host, Saeed. I'm here with my boy, Zoe.
Yes, sir.
Zoe, what is up?
I'm back to West Coast Zoe, man, because it's funny because another Coach Zoe had followed me, and I'm like, bro, we can't have two Coach Zoes. What the hell is this? And I was like, you know what? F it, I'll just go back to my West Coast, man. I'll let you have it. Since his at was Coach Zoe as well. So I'm like, I guess you might have beat me to it. I can't. I concede. I concede defeat.
So explain to me, because I never knew this until recently, the whole like Haitian Zoe thing. Explain to me how that works.
Oh, okay. So Zoe, it translates to bone in Creole. the legend behind it was that Haitians have strong bones. And I don't know who started it or anything like that, but and then in Miami, or South Florida, particularly probably Miami first, but I know for a lot of those as well, they just started calling Haitians Zoes and Americans Yanks.
Okay.
And then that just kind of that slang just kind of stuck around, and it's just been there ever since. And so every Haitian is like, that's a Zoe. They just say, oh, that's a Zoe over there.
Yeah. See, I didn't know that until I joined Twitter, not too long ago. And I saw all these Zoes.
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
bro, there's no way all these dudes' names is Zoe, you know?
Yeah. It's just a nickname for Haitians.
Word.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So, Zoe.
Yes, sir.
We 5-1, bro.
We are 5-1. But here's the thing. Okay. Yes, we are 5-1. A lot of people are not happy with that 5-1. How do you feel about that situation? Yes, we are 5-1, but not everyone's happy.
On a scale of happiness, I would say mine's is probably 8.5.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, very content. We'll talk about the Virginia game, okay? So the Virginia game, watching that game, bro, I don't know about you. I've never seen an offense like Virginia's offense. I've never seen anything in my life like that.
Yeah, they were doing a lot of shit.
Brother, they had like 3 quarterbacks in, It was I've never seen anything like that,
Just nonstop. And, yeah, that shit was kind of crazy.
That's the first game other than Clemson game. I got a feeling I'm like, yo, we're gonna lose, until we scored that touchdown to go up by 12. I thought we're probably gonna lose.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it don't matter how you win, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter how you win. In my eyes, in my opinion, the good teams find a way to win.
Right.
That's the good thing. That's the good thing about Dan Mullen. A lot of people hate on Dan Mullen. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
His teams, I've watched Florida games over the last 2 or 3 years. A lot of times, his teams don't really play very good, but they find a way to win.
Okay.
So,
Go ahead.
So, like I said, I'm content.
You're content.
Right now.
So, speaking of the Virginia game, I'm happy with – so the record has us 5-1, right? We got a W in that column versus an L in that column versus Virginia. Now, I understand – because here's the thing. So, again, looking at the ACC, everyone said – and I know we said it, of course, but even like Kirk Herbstreit, all those other guys, they acknowledge – if anyone's going to beat Clemson in the ACC, the only team capable of doing that is either Notre Dame, which is honestly not going to happen, or Miami. So it's not just Miami doing our Miami thing, hyping us up. People see, because you look at our recruiting classes, you look at the talent we have NFL caliber athletes. We have first rounders on our team. We have future NFL players on our team. There is no reason we should be getting smacked like that by Clemson. When you look at Syracuse, or not, nah, but Clemson, but so yeah, we shouldn't get smacked like that by Clemson. And then, yes, Virginia played Clemson tough. So here's the thing. Again, remember, I listened to the last episode, and I said that the Virginia we're going to get that Saturday is not the same Virginia that their record shows. So Virginia played Clemson. At one point, like, I'm sure the spread was crazy, but they were, like, scoring on Clemson. Right? Just like how Syracuse, they almost had a title going to halftime before they just started fumbling the bag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, again, I don't think Virginia's that bad of a team. I think their record shows that they're bad, but I think overall, when I sit back and I calm down, overall, they are not that bad of a squad. So But I want us to dominate those wins the way Clemson would dominate those wins. You know what I'm saying? Yes. Yes, Virginia scored on Clemson, but Clemson also put up like 47 points. Yes, they were almost in a dogfight with Syracuse, and Syracuse, for some reason, can always play Clemson tough, but then what happened second half? They pulled away, and they blew them out. People are mad because everyone says we have this talent. Everyone admits it. We know it. We have NFL talent. And we're not playing, we're not blowing out competition that we should be blowing out. We beat them, right? But now people are saying that it's similar to that 2017 vibe. Well, yeah, we're undefeated.
No, I don't agree.
You don't agree?
I think that's foolish. Compared this team to that.
Here's what people are saying.
I've seen people say that.
Yeah, we're undefeated. But we have what? Close wins to... A savior win against Florida State, a savior win against Georgia Tech, a savior win against almost everybody. And then we got exposed. Now, looking at our offense, the first three games, bro, we were rolling. UAB,
yeah.
Florida State, Louisville, we were rolling. And then we went to Clemson, and that offense – one, was not the same offense in the first three games. And two, I haven't seen that offense since that game. It's like as soon as Clemson hit, we went to being from competing in the ACC to now it's going to be Clemson-Notre Dame again, or Clemson-Notre Dame. Like, we do not look the same.
What happened in the Clemson game? Specific.
Clemson, our offense, our receivers weren't helping De'Arik King. Right?
And who do we lose in the Clemson game?
We did lose what?
Lost a bad player.
I know we lost the same player we've been losing every game. And I believe we lost Gervin.
No, we lost Brevin. We lost Brevin Jordan.
Oh, we lost Brevin. Brevin. He played for a little bit.
He got injured. I think he got injured in the first half or maybe early in the second half. He's our best offensive player.
I don't know, man. I don't know, man.
If you notice, one thing if you notice, and I don't put it all on Brevin, but to me, he's such a key. Like the first game against who's the team we played? UAB. Okay?
Yeah.
You remember we were struggling offensively, mm-hmm. And then what did we do in the second half? We slowed it down and we got it to Brevin. I think Brevin, he sets everything else up because with Brevin, you can get easy yards. You know, they do plays to get him the ball, and he gets you easy yards very easily. So I think him being out is a big piece of the puzzle missing. And I think also sometimes you just have bad games. Like an example, like look at Notre Dame. Was it last or 2 weeks ago?
Against
Louisville.
Yeah, Louisville.
They won 12-7. They had a bad game, but what do? You find a way to win. Every team, every good team has just they have those games, just bad games.
Okay, but look at this though. Notre Dame after that bad game, what have they done? They went back to dom. People thought because of that game that Pitt or they were on upset watch against Pitt. They blew Pitt the fuck out the water. Well, they had that bad game, but then they bounced back. We have yet to bounce back.
But okay, the game before, who do we played Pitt? We won 34? What was it?
I don't know. I don't think we covered the spread though. The spread was like 13.5. We won by like 12 maybe or 11 or 10.
But it was a good game, good victory. We play State in what next week? Mm-hmm. NC State?
Yep.
NC State's a good team. They're not a bad team.
And guess what? Guess what happened next week? We're coming off a bye week. 0-4 after bye weeks. What did Manny say? He diagnosed the problem on bye week and realized there's nothing that needs to be changed. That means we're gonna lose.
Is it at NC State?
I gotta check where it's at. Let me look right now. Because this is ridiculous. Like, come on. We've yet to win after a bye week.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll win. And I think we'll win. I think, okay, here are the type of teams that give us trouble, okay? From what I've seen over the last few years, are teams that are, like, very, very, like, physical. They have good defensive lines.
We're playing at NC State, by the way.
At NC State.
At NC State after a bye week.
We struggle with teams that are very physical, that have very good defensive lines, and like that press our receivers. You know, that's what Pitt was doing. Virginia has I'm not sure how great their line was, but they had that really good DN Snowden that Joe was telling us about. I'm not sure how State is, but I doubt they're going to be much of a challenge.
They're better than again. They're better to me. They're better than their record shows. I know they had a shootout fight with there was a shootout or North Carolina beat the brakes off of them. It was a good game. North Carolina versus NC State. North Carolina won.
I think NC Carolina pulled away.
Here's the thing. I don't know too much about NC State. I haven't been tracking them. But coming after a bye week, I don't know how confident I feel about us beating NC State. We literally have never won after a bye week. Never under Coach Manny Diaz. That's huge. You know what I'm saying? So I'm kind of nervous, man.
We're gonna blow them out.
What? Come on,
we will blow out NC State.
You starting to sound like me, bro. Come on.
No, we will, bro. Like I haven't watched State neither, but like you know, I live in North Carolina. If they were really good, I would have heard.
They're 4-2 right now. So they lost North Carolina 21-48. Yeah, they beat Duke. They beat Virginia 38-21. So they put up more points to Virginia than we did.
Yeah,
they beat Pitt by one. Yeah, whatever. They got blown out by Virginia Tech, and then they beat. Yeah, but look, they're 4-2. They're not a cakewalk.
Here's the thing, okay. And another thing, when you really dive deep into stuff, one thing that bothers me again, and I've been bringing it up, is people like really crapping on Blake Baker.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, we gave up 14 points, okay? Just think about those two touchdowns. One of those touchdowns, Blaze just – he effed up. He effed up. You know, it was a free touchdown. We were up by 12. I don't know what Blaze was doing. Or it might have been the safety. I don't know. But it was just – it was basically – the touchdown was given on a platter, okay? The other touchdown, it was – you remember, it was third down. It was, like, deep in the – it was, like, on the 2-yard line or 3-yard line. He floats it past the tight end, Bubba Walden. He makes a bad play. You remember he tries to push him out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that. No, that was good. That was a good ass play.
It was a good play by the tight end, but it was a bad play by Bubba. Bubba should have either went for the ball.
Dude, that guy.
He was right there.
6'5". I think Bubba played it right. Bubba decided to push him a little harder because that's what you do.
He should have pushed either go for the ball or push him much harder to make sure his his, you know, his, he didn't get his feet in. So it was a, it was there, you know? So really, I think that should have been a field goal, and the Blades play, it was just, it shouldn't have happened. So we could have easily only given up 3 points. Easily.
Yeah.
You know? But again, I think we, Blades or whatever, the defense got lax after we got up by 12. Yeah, man, our defense is really good.
Our defense is pretty good, man. They're solid. But the only team that blown us out was Clemson. But, like, dude, like, of course, I came in optimistic. This is before Greg opted out. I do think we'd have been a lot better with Greg.
Yeah.
I'm loving our D-line now. I'm also not loving how Jalen Phillips gets held, like, every play, every time.
Every play.
And nothing ever happens. Like, every play, pretty much every time he's getting held, he hardly gets any holding calls, if ever. But there's not much you can do about it. You got to keep playing ball. I don't know, man. Like, I get why people are upset about last week's game, because they want to see blown people out. They want our defense to keep doing what they're doing or improve, which is possible, but they want our offense to look like we did against Florida State, against Louisville, against UAB. It's not like it was like a one-time thing. We did it 3 times.
Yo, but here's the thing. We have blown people out. You're not going to blow everybody out. We have blown people out.
We haven't since Clemson. We didn't. We only scored one offensive touchdown against Clemson.
That's 2 games.
So 3 games we haven't blown anybody out. Clemson got our ass beat. Pitt, we won.
Yeah.
Didn't blow them out. And in Virginia, we made it out alive.
But, okay. Again, during the Clemson game, we lost our best offensive player. Okay, our receivers, shout out to Harley, shout out to Pope.
Yep.
Talk about that. They played much better.
We will, yep.
But, like, Brevin is so much, I mean, so much better as a receiving threat. He's the only, like, really big threat. Mallory is too, but Brevin is much more than Mallory. I feel like everything moves off of Brevin.
Yeah.
It's weird because he's a tight end. You know, it's weird. But, like, I feel like the offense is centered around him and the running game. And everyone else is, like, you know, accessories in the offense. But, like, he's the main cog, and then the trio of running backs are the main two ingredients, you know? Of the steak and the potatoes.
Yeah.
Mike Pope, Harley, Mallory, they're the, you know, the sour cream, the chives, you know, the butter. Those are the accessories. But and without him, I think it just, we're not the same team. Hopefully he comes back. I hope he comes back.
Yeah. I mean, luckily we got a bye week. He had a chance to get healthy, but I don't think Brevin makes up for that many points. I don't think he makes up for like 3 touchdowns, because he gets you like 1, maybe 2 touchdowns a game. He's not going to make up for, like, 30 points, though.
But he opens it up. To me, he opens it up to where
– I think Will is going to open it up just as much, though. Well, obviously, Brevin's better. But Will is just as much as a threat, you know?
He has the potential to be. He has the potential to be.
I just think Brevin's more dynamic. I think Will Mallory is a really good tight end. Strong, he can block, he's tall, he can jump, he can catch. He has a little more drops than Brevin, but I mean, he won some big one-on-one balls against Virginia, you know?
Yeah. To me, like, Brevin, I think what he does is he gets us easy yards and easy plays. There are plays to where, yo, it's like, I've seen it, like, in the UAB game, like, stuff wasn't working in the first half. They have plays for Brevin. They know, yo, he could go get you 5 or 6 yards. Yeah. You know, and if you have a player that you know just about every time, he will get you 5 or 6 yards. It just it opens up your offense. It like relieves the pressure on your offense. So instead of 2nd and 10 all the time, or 2nd and 11, or 2nd and 9, you're dealing with a 2nd and 5. You know, as a 2nd and 4. You know, yeah. I think he's a big key, but offensively. So if you don't think that he's that big, I think he's a big factor of why it's not working. What do you think is the big factor? Why is it not working?
I think that we've been figured out. Now, I know Brevin does come in and change it, but what happens if you just start double-teaming Brevin? We need more of what we saw with our wide receivers, but we need that from everyone. We need Derrick King to play better, right? And I get Derrick King's doing what he can. We need him to be better. We need better play calling from Rhett Lashley. We need what we saw. We need him scheming. We need our guys open. Besides the first play of the game against Virginia, it's not like we're calling a shit ton of plays and we just had dudes wide open. Like the very first touchdown pass by Mike Harley, I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those kind of games. And then what happened? Didn't happen the rest of the game. We need more consistency. Like, our receivers, Mike Harley had over 100-some yards, man. First time in his career. He had like almost 10 catches. He had like 8 or 9 or 10 catches and a touchdown. We need that out of Mike Harley every game. We need him to be a legit threat to where people have to game plan against him. So now if you got a game plan against him and Brevin and Will and Mark and D. Wiggins, and D. Wiggins has been doing this thing lately where he goes for a deep pass and he falls.
Yeah. Soft.
I don't know. Like, where's the D. Wiggins that beat up Brian Hartower? Allegedly. Anyways, where's that guy, you know?
I think what it is like, I know you said that we need those guys to be consistent threats, but to me, they're not. They're accessories. They can never be your number ones, you know? Brevin is your number one.
Yeah.
But these guys are just they're good. They can be good in certain situations and certain plays. And we could talk about it. Harley played freaking fantastic. Pope made the freaking catch of the freaking year. So they did good. And to me, I think we have been figured out a bit. But also, I think we went very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I think Manning was like, okay, yo, we're up. They're not gonna score on us. We're up 12, you know. Let's just play conservative. If you notice, a lot of the times it'd be like 3rd and 10, and he just run the ball. I think versus earlier this year, if you notice on 3rd and 10s, freaking Derek would let it rip. I think because they knew, yo, they're not gonna score on us. Let's just play it safe. I believe that was the mindset.
I mean,
we'll see against NC State.
Dude,
I'm not.
Look, I love the Canes, man. I'm just not confident against NC State right now, dude.
I'm very confident, brother.
I'm just not.
I was nervous against Virginia because I know Virginia has one of the best – to me, he's one of the best coaches in the ACC. They have one of the best offensive coordinators in the ACC. Mm-hmm. Their offensive coordinator, it was a rumor. I think he interviewed for the Miami OC job. Robert Anai.
I didn't hear that.
And you know they're going to have a solid defense. That's the type of teams that worry me. NC State, they don't worry me.
They don't worry.
They're right down the street from me right now, brother. I'm not worried about them.
I'm just saying. Like, it's not like they're not a bad team. Again, their record shows that they're better. I think their record doesn't do them justice. They're 4-2. We're 5-1. They're 4-2. And they've scored more on our opponents that we've played the same than we have. So they scored more on Virginia than we did. We haven't played North Carolina yet. I don't know, man.
But if you think about it, okay, so we scored 50 on Louisville. Notre Dame scored 12. Does that mean we're gonna handle Notre Dame?
We should handle Notre Dame because we're better than Notre Dame.
But, I mean, boy,
not even me being biased. I honestly think we got the better squad than Notre Dame. But it's what team's going to show up. What is that offense in Florida State going to show up?
To me, NC State, like I said, teams like Pitt, teams like Virginia are the teams that give us the most type of trouble.
Yeah.
To me, NC State's not that sort of – they're not that sort of team. They're a team more like a Syracuse, you know? Where if we play Syracuse – I'm not saying they're as good as Syracuse, but, you know, their style of play is more like a Syracuse. Where if we play Syracuse, bro, we – like, I would never be that worried about Syracuse unless they have, like – you know, sometimes NC State, every 4 or 5 years – they'll stack up their roster to where, yo, they got some dudes. You know, they got Bradley Chubb, Hines. What's his name? Naheem Hines. They had like two NFL receivers a few years ago. That's not the same team they got now, bro. What was his name? The guy who got picked, Ryan Finley, was the quarterback. So they had an NFL quarterback. We're gonna blow them out, brother. Don't worry.
All right, man. Oh, all right. We'll see. Well, let's get a prediction score then.
I think we'll beat State.
I still think that. So I think we're the better team. I'm gonna hope that this is the game that finally gets us our first win after a bye week. Again, they're not a pushover. Their record is 4-2. I'm going to say Miami 24, NC State 17.
24-17. All righty. You want to talk about Florida State?
Oh, yes, I do. You know I do. You know, so we got
– tell me what's going on with
so,
Florida State.
They had a win against North Carolina, right? Number 5 in North Carolina, something like that.
Yeah.
Boys thought they were back. They said, if we run that game back – against Miami with Travis at the helm, we win that game.
Yeah.
I said, you telling me Travis gonna make up 47 points? And there was like, somebody said, Miami fans are afraid to admit it out in public, but they told me offline. I said, well, Miami fans, he ignored me.
Zach.
By the way, he came back, man. He came back. He's trying to come back into the Canes fan base. Okay. No, not to me or anything, but I just seen some stuff. He's trying to get back in there. He made the flip and he saw what was on the other side.
Oh,
trying
man.
To come back. Anyways, back to Florida State. So I'm looking at these boys, right? These pathetic ass boys. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie. They had me fooled. I took them to cover the spread. I'm like, yo, these boys, they might have righted this shit. This might have been what they needed. Because they looked good against Notre Dame first half, and then Notre Dame blew them out. Then they beat North Carolina, so it looked like they were going up. But boy, was I deceived. Was I hoodwinked? Was I led astray? Was I run amok? Was I bamboozled? Florida State is trash again. Bro, it's so bad. Then, heard rumors. I can't verify this. I just heard rumors of fighting in a locker room. People are pissed.
Oh,
I seen some of the biggest Florida State fans turning on Akeem Dent. Remember him? He was like the 5-star corner that we wanted. That's supposed to go to us and flip.
Yeah.
I seen him said, get this guy off my field. I don't ever want him on the field again. I'm like, whoa. Not Akeem.
Yeah.
Honey, Honey Fried Chicken, man, came back. He came back. He skipped going pro. Well, he was a first rounder. Now he's not going to be a first rounder. I think he has maybe one sack in seven games, something like that. Like, dog.
You talking about Marvin?
Yeah, Marvin Honey Biscuit. That's what they call him.
Honey Biscuit.
Honey Biscuit.
Yeah, I saw the game, or I saw some of the game. I didn't see. I saw something about that. I didn't really read into it. Yeah, it was bad, man. It was bad, bro. Norvell.
you he had you fooled too, because you was like, yeah, I think Norvell might have did it. He might have turned it around. He's gonna be a good coach.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing, okay? Like, bro, Hakeem Ditt is a good player. He is a good player, bro. Like, if he played for us, he might be our number two corner. That's how highly I think of him. Like, he's a good player. He's not a bad player. Like, it's the scheme. It's the system on defense that's freaking destroying these dudes, man. You know, like Jarvis Brownlee. I know people are going at him too, but he was committed to Miami at one point. He's a dude who got beat by Wiggins on that long touchdown. He's a good player. Like, to me, with us, he would play. He's a good cornerback. Dent and Brownlee are two players we could really use right now. You feel me? I think it's just a scheme, man, as far as with the defensive coordinator, man. It's just, I don't know. It's a mess, bro. I'm glad.
No, I'm glad you see, I'm not a fucking Seminole. I say that.
You see, our fans are complaining about 5-1. Imagine being that when you know you're not going to be good for a few years, okay? You know
it. If that, it might be a while, because Memphis is better than Florida State right now.
And the worst thing, okay, the worst thing about Norvell, okay, I'm not sure if he's a good coach or a bad coach. I never watched the Memphis. The worst thing is that he's not recruiting. He's not a recruiter. Like, you know, Manny, even though there was crappy, you know, it was terrible last year, he recruited at a good level. And now when we're good, you see he's recruiting at an even better level. So, like, what did our boy say? Yo, help is on the way. So, you know, the cavalry is
coming.
That's
what they say.
Like, but with Florida State, nobody is coming,
Jennings, Bradley Jennings' younger brother. He dipped out. He's in Michigan. He flipped to Michigan.
But here's the thing.
That's crazy.
Here's the thing. Like, Hakeem Ditt was a 5-star. Mm-hmm. Worst players are coming to replace this. You know? The players they're getting to come in are going to be worse. So they're in trouble, bro.
They're in big trouble. So they got Pitt this weekend. Oh, no.
They're
going to
lose.
They got Pitt next weekend.
The bye week?
Yeah, they got a bye week, too. Because remember, they lost to Louisville 48-16. I think Pitt's going to beat them.
Yeah. Down seasons after that. All right, so let's end on this, man. Election.
Yeah, it is. Hey, good job, today. Man. I'm proud of you, bro.
First time in my
life,
I voted,
man.
What's your prediction, man? What's your prediction for?
It's tough. So CNN, right? Fox News, all these polls. I don't know who's polling because I haven't been polled. But they're all saying that Joe Biden is leading, right? But then remember last election, Hillary was leading, and what happened? President Trump won.
Yeah, 85% chance.
Yeah, and so at times I feel like Joe will win it, but then when I go outside in this part of California, it's very heavily pro-Trump. Like, yeah, and where I'm at right here, Central Coast, it's very pro-Trump. It's very, very Republican. It's like, you look at the entire state of California and it's like blue, and then our part is red. And then it's like, you have some little red pockets, but like, we're like heavily, heavily like conservative Republican in this area. I mean, they're You see, I mean, it's still California, so you still have people that are against it, but we're very, this area is very pro-cop, pro-everything. Like, you'd probably love it here, man. This is your area, dude. But they're out in force, but honestly, so if I have to put my money on it, which I'm not going to, which you can, which is crazy to me, I'm not going to, but I think I'm going to give it to Joe Biden, only because I think the younger generation those past 4 years we've had four more years of voters. And I think that Democratic voters have been outweighing, because there's still younger Republicans. And there's a shit ton of Black Republicans becoming more and more every day. But I think, I've been reading articles where it's like, there's been like 25% increase, 22% increase in states of young voters, people going out to vote. So if it's my money, I'm going to say Joe Biden, but I was wrong last time. So that shit shocked the hell out of me, bro.
And I what's your confidence score?
I'm going to say 55-45. 55 Joe Biden, 45 President Trump. I don't think President Trump's out of it by any means.
And I definitely agree with you, because I went to vote today. It was closer to a college, to a Black college, in North Carolina A&T. But yeah, bro, it was all young Black kids, mostly young Black kids, you know, or kids and, you know,
dude,
women.
That makes me so proud, bro, like, to see people go out and actually vote. That makes me.
And I'm telling you, like, and it's people like, you would look at him like, yeah, you would think this person wouldn't be interested in voting. Yeah. You know, I'm just being honest, you know, by the way they dressed, you know, a lot of, which, you know, that you would think those people would lean towards Biden. I don't know, bro. Like,
yeah, that's the thing.
I don't know. That's the thing. Logic, like, my logic tells me Trump will smash Biden. That's what my logic tells me, because you know, I watch a ton of news, you know, not even mainstream news. I watch alternative news, and I see the rallies. I see, yo, this, you know, Trump is, you know, everywhere he goes, 25,000, 30,000, just packing it out. And I see Biden, you know, he has, you know, a few people at his rally. I know they're saying it's by choice, you know, but he just has a few people at his rally. You know, I watch a lot of streams of rallies too, like online, and I would see President Trump, some of his streams of 70,000 people watching his stream at the time, of, you know, live. First, I saw a Biden stream yesterday, 1,000 people. The high I saw it get to was just 1,000 people watching it live at that time. So, like, logically in my head, I'm like, yo, Trump is going to, like, he's going to smash him. But it's tough. I don't know, man. Like,
it's tough, man.
It's tough, man, because like, the media tells you, yo, Biden is winning. Like, he's winning and he's going to win. That's what the media tells you.
Yeah.
And that's what these polls tell you. But yeah, I think Trump is gonna smash him, like, big time.
Big time. Well, we'll see, man. I mean, so what are you doing for the election day?
I heard Joe Rogan has a live stream. I'm just gonna chill at the house and probably watch. I don't know. A part of me just wants to sleep and wake up, and not, like, cause, like, I'm very pro Trump, very pro Trump, and I think I'm very in the mindset of, yo, this election is so important. Like, it has consequences, and it's not your normal consequences. I think if Joe Biden gets elected, then, yo, our way of life will forever be changed. It could happen, and it could be.
I can guarantee you that it will not. I can guarantee. I will put my life on the line that it will not. Because people thought the same thing with President Trump. People literally thought that every Black person get deported. I promise you, no matter who's the president. Because again, The one president, just you have to remember, right? The one president does not control America because it's checks and balances, right? He's one part of three.
But the reason I say this, I don't say this, you know, some people say, oh, yeah, you're going to bring in socialism, communism, all that. I don't say that because of that. I say that because there are a lot of extreme measures going on with COVID, like extreme measures going on with COVID. France just in Paris, France, they just shut down for a month. Mm-hmm. They're shutting down the entire city in Paris. In order to leave your house starting, I think, the 1st of November, you need written permission to leave your house for 1 month. People are fleeing that city. People are rioting. I have started rioting in Paris, France, because these extreme measures they're taking for COVID. I've heard in Canada, I have friends in Canada, they're talking to me about these extreme measures they're taking for COVID, how like they will be forced vaccinations. If you do not get vaccinated, then you will not be allowed to work. You will not be allowed in certain stores if you do not have vaccinations. And this is in Canada. I have friends in Canada. And I feel like with Trump, like that sort of thing will not happen with Trump. It's just not going to happen. He will not force vaccinations. He will not force shutdowns. He just won't do it. I think with Biden, I think that those sorts of stuff are on the table and could really happen. Like that to me is where I'm like, yo, our way of life could be changed, because around the world, in Australia, they're talking about you cannot travel outside of Australia until the vaccinations are ready. Like these are extreme measures, and I feel like everyone in the world is starting to do this stuff, except very few countries, and like America is like that stronghold of like, yo, no, we're not going to be extreme.
If we do not, here's the thing. So America doesn't run the world, right? And no one thinks that, and I'm not saying you said this, but no one thinks that COVID is a hoax made. No one in the rest of the world thinks COVID was made for our election. No one else in the rest of the world is concerned. They think COVID is a health problem. Like, I remember, like, well, not remember, but so you learned about the bubonic plague, right? It's a worldwide plague, like in Europe, that killed millions of people, right? So the reason people are having these fears, because they don't want something like that again to happen, because they happen all the time. Viruses aren't new. They happen all the time. And so we have these different things trying to combat that because we don't want people to fucking die like they did a long time ago. Now, here's the thing. If the rest of the world, right, and I get it, America, we know we're different, but if the rest of the world conforms and they say, hey, the rest of the world, we want everyone here taking this vaccine, or you can't come. Now, if the rest of the world refuses to trade with America and do business with America and not let Americans in their country, how long do you think America is going to last as a strong country by ourselves? Whether it's Joe Biden or President Trump, if the rest of the world refuses to do business with America, we're not going to be that strong. No one's going to want to come here. If everyone else is vaccinated, everyone else is okay, no one's going to want it. Right now, we can't go to London, or we can't go to the UK. They would not let Americans in. We can be strong in this and doing whatever we want, but again, you need partners. You need the rest of the world. Your dollar plummets. I mean, I guess we can try to sustain ourselves by ourselves. We could probably do that for a while. How long is it going to last, though? I mean, we could probably do it in our lifetimes, and we'll be fine. But eventually down the future, if the rest of the world is not trading with America or not letting, we're not being able to learn. You have to probably try to learn from each other online, not do practicals or medicine. We get medicine not just from America, from around the world, right? We have people that go to seminars, people figure out stuff, and they all get together and they figure it out. We need the world, right? I hear what you're saying, but I think if the rest of the world does something, we're going to have to honestly get on board, not just America, but with the rest of the world, or they'll leave us behind.
Zo, it was a good discussion. Hopefully my man Trump He pulls
we'll
it
see,
out.
man. Hey,
You want to sign us off, bro?
Good luck to you. Good luck to us. But hey, I do appreciate everybody coming in on here, man. I love it. Let's the next episode we record. Nah, it won't be after the election. I think we should probably do one after the election, next episode. If we can break that down, man.